If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke, the first chapter, as we think about and continue thinking about Mother's Day. Mother's Day has a lot of expression because of what it is. It has been said that the hand that rocks the cradle fashions and rocks the whole world, and that's very true. But as we think about mothers, and it takes a special person to be a mother. That's what we'll look at tonight. I read the story of 5-year-old Sammy. He had heard that his mother was going to have a baby, and she was kind of folding through some clothes. And he told her, he says, "Mama, since you're going to have a baby, are you going to wear those eternity clothes?" So I guess there's some truth to that as well. After the wedding, a little boy and his mother attended. She asked him, she says, now don't you understand what was going on here today? And he said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Well, if you understand what's going on, then how many women is a man allowed to have or to marry?" And he says, 16. She says, "How in the world did you get that?" He says, "Well, there's 4 for better, 4 for worse, 4 for richer, 4 for poorer. You add it up yourself, 16. But the best one I read or heard was little Kevin. It was the brink of his 5th birthday. And he had went up to go to bed, and his mother went up with him. And she says, "Now, Kevin," says, "you've been holding up 4 fingers all these times that you're 4 years old. Oh, but in the morning when you get up, what can you hold up?" He says, "I can hold up all 5 of them." She says, "What does that mean?" He says, "That means that I'm a handful." And I've known some that's been a handful, hadn't you? Oh, and when they get 10, they 2 handfuls too. But as we look together in Luke's gospel, I titled this one of the most special mothers and women, or women and mothers in Scripture, because of something we're going to look at and find out in this passage. But I want to clarify the title because I want it to be understood that I'm old and I'm old-fashioned. And the reason I know that I'm old is because if you look very close tonight, you'll see that my coat does not match my pants. Anybody notice that? I don't know who hung up together in the closet. It had to be me. But anyhow, the thing about it is we do things sometimes that we're kind of shocks us when we really find out the thing. I've put on 2 different color socks before. Anybody ever done that? When you get old, you do things like that. One time I went to town and had 2 different shoes on. I don't know if anybody ever done that or not. So you can kind of look over us old folks. But here, this is, as I said, I'm old-fashioned because I still believe that it takes a woman to be a mother. And I believe, as far as I can understand, that it also takes a man, as the Scripture teaches, to be a father. And I believe the Scripture says it was Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And I believe it was Eve and Adam and not Eve and Evelyn or whoever. But why was Elizabeth so special? If you stand with me for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer, we're going to look at verses 5 through 16. I know it's a long text. We need to cover the whole chapter. We'll probably look at some verses. But in going through this, I want us to look at a special woman and a special mother. In chapter 1 of Luke's gospel, verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah with his wife, who was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." As we think about Zechariah, means his name means Jehovah has remembered. And we'll look at his wife's name in just a moment. But in verse 6 it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Let's pray together. Father, once again, we have the privilege to come before your throne of grace. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to come in this place of prayer, this place of worship. And Father, we pray tonight that you would just meet with us in a special way, that you'd help us to recognize and understand, oh God, that which you'd have us to know and to be about. Help us to recognize in our relationship with you that you call us every day that we live for special tasks and things that you would have us to be about. Help us, oh God, as we look last Wednesday night at your will, what your will really is. And God, I pray that our eyes and our ears and our heart would be attentive and open to what you'd have in our life. And Lord, tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture, we pray that you'd open our ears, illuminate our hearts and our minds, that we may understand more clearly what you'd have us to be about as your people, God, called out of this world and out of this life. Lord, called out because of the person of Jesus Christ who went through the streets and the areas, and he called men unto himself, but he sent them back into a world. And Lord, you've sent us back into the world to proclaim the gospel, to share the good news. And God, help us to be faithful and obedient to do that. I pray, Lord, tonight once again that you would take these feeble lips of clay and you'd speak through them the truth of your word. Lord, that you'd just have your will and way accomplished, and everything that is said and done would be in accordance to your will. We pray, Lord, for those that's on our prayer list, those that were mentioned tonight in the men's and the latest prayer group as we met together. You know each one. And Lord, you know those unspoken requests on each of our heart here tonight. And I would pray, oh God, that through your infinite wisdom and mercy that you would work in the circumstances as only you can. Help us to recognize, Lord. Help us to trust you. Help us to be submissive to you. And above everything, Lord, we would pray that you would conform us to the very image of your Son, whom we call ourselves named after, and that is Christians, as Christ, little Christ. God, do that which only you can. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, and for his sake and glory, amen. As we look at the passage of Scripture, and as we think about this lady calls Elizabeth, even in her old age, and you wonder about some of the things that transpired. But in the outline, as we look at it, as we look at this passage, there are some things we want to look at what made her so special. First thing we have on there, she was special because of her heritage and her background. If you study the Scripture very close, it says that she was a daughter of Aaron. She came from the priestly line of Aaron, or those from the succession all the way back to Aaron, whenever God called Aaron to be the priest of that time, in Moses' time. And not only that, she not only was just of the priestly line, but she was of the lineage that was honored because of it coming from the lineage of Aaron. Go back to Exodus 6 and verse 23 and following, and you can study that for yourself. So she was one of those four priestly tribes that went all the way back to Aaron. But she was special also because of the wife. She was the wife of a priest. Not only was she of the priestly line, but she was the wife of a priest, and that even made it more special from a standpoint of her willingness to be obedient to God and to serve God, and therefore it caused something in their life and worked at it. In other words, she was what we would call today a PK who married a PK. You know what that is, don't you? A PK is a preacher's kid. Yeah, some of our children's probably been called that, Brother IB. Yours has, and I know mine has. And she married a priest kid. And so she was kind of double dipped in this priestly role, in this priestly lineage, because of who she was. But I'm sorry for Catholicism, who says priests were not allowed to marry, but they were allowed to marry those who were pious women of that day, those who were looked up to, according to what Josephus said, as looked at this in the meaning means of this because of the condition of it. But not only that, she was also special because she was godly. And I want us to look at that for just a moment. She was godly. Why do I say that? Verse 6 tells us that. It says, "And they both were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless." The term righteous, truly did what God said was good. That is what the term righteous means. They did everything the Lord commanded and were without fault in keeping the law. In other words, they not only heard the law or studied the law, but they practiced the word of God. And let me tell you something. If you want to be a special person in God's eyes today, and if you want to be a special person in the world in which we live today, you not only study and you not only read, but you practice the word of God. Because let me tell you something, when you get into the word of God, the God of the word will get into you and he will transform your life and he will make your life different from anyone else and everything else. Because see, they were those who were righteous. Truly, their heart's desire was to do and to be obedient to the teaching of the word of God. And folks, let me tell you something. We need to take that and incorporate that within our lives today, do we not? Do we not need to be people who are called people of the word? Because we not only say that we believe it, but we practice what it says. Practice what we say. Other term it used there, they were blameless. The term there means in their conduct. It was without by the others as they looked at them. It was a condition in their life, because as they conducted themselves in every circumstances of life. And this is a very coveted combination when you think about a person who is righteous before God and blameless before men. That should be a coveted commitment of our life to live that kind of way, should it not? Am I wrong in that? But see, there's something else in this. May I say today, you are special to God. You are special to God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been through. You are special to God. And you know the reason I can say that is because that little sign I saw several years ago says, "God don't make junk." God loves you. You're here and you're on God's timetable. You're on God's plan. If you'll only surrender and submit your life to God and allow him to work through you, and there's absolutely, positively no telling what God can do in and through your life. Here, Elizabeth was just an older lady, carrying on the task that she had always carried on, doing the things she had always done. Her heritage went all the way back to Moses and Aaron. But there she lived her life. The life that she lived, as she lived it, she was one who was righteous before God. She was one who was blameless from those without. But her life meant something. And let me tell you something. Your life can mean something today if you will surrender your heart and the life to Jesus Christ. It is only through him and because of him that our life can really count and have some real lasting value. You want to leave a legacy? I'll tell you how to do that, is you practice what the word of God says and teaches. If you want to leave a legacy, you do that. You might leave millions to your children, but let me tell you something. It will pass off the scene sooner or later. I don't need to get into that. Let's move on. The second thing, her name was special. And why do I say that? Her name, Elizabeth. The term there, Elizabeth, means God is my oath. That is, if we take that and break it down out of the original text, what it really means, it means that she was a worshiper of God because she had made a commitment to God with her life. A worshiper of God, a God of my oath. I understand as I commit my life to him, as I give my life to him, that I am a worshiper of God. So this is what the terminology means there, a worshiper of God. Zacharias spoke this in his song after the birth of John. Look with me in same chapter, verses 73 and 74. Look there with me just a moment. It says in verse 73, it says, "The oath which he swore to our father Abraham," using the aspect of that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Her name was a captivation of her life and who she was as she worshiped God and she trusted God with her very life. And so that's something that each and every one of us can do. See, her name implicated her, I guess we could say, because of what it says, it implicated her that she was a woman, not just of faith, but she was a woman of great faith. There's not many people listed in Scripture as people of great faith, but there are some. And we need to realize she was one who had this faith. And you say, well, preacher, if she'd have had so much great faith, she'd have had a child back several years when she was young and could take care of him. Well, I don't know. See, God's work timetable and God's timing is always different from man's because, see, God always comes through at the right time. Let me tell you something. God is never late. He is never early. God is right on time, every time, whenever you trust him and learn to trust him. I don't care how big of a hurry you get into with circumstances in your life. God is always right on time. So her name implicated her as a woman of great faith. And because of that great faith, it also said that she was going to receive blessings that follow. Blessings that follow. Anybody need a blessing tonight? Anybody need for the Lord to just bless us? I was thinking as I made plans in preparation, preparing this message. We're living in a time where we as a people in this country, we need the blessings of God. We need that song, God Bless America. But you know what? Whenever, and listen to me very close because I do not want to be misunderstood, I believe whenever America begins to bless God, God will bless America. I believe that we're reaping some of the things that we have sown. And let me tell you something, I believe God is giving us exactly what we deserve. And if we don't turn around and turn back to Him as a country and a nation, let me tell you something, folks, we're not going to be here much longer. That's free. That wasn't even the message. Move on. I said I thought about it as I made the plans. But see, when we look at this, her name was special. If there is a truth to life lesson in this, the truth to life lesson is don't give up on God. Don't give up on God because, see, He may have a special job for you to do. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But I'll guarantee you He's got something special for you if you'll just trust Him, hang in there, and express faith in Him and what He's going to do. I thank God for that teaching that we get from this. But there's something else, the third thing, as we move hurriedly along. She was also special and privileged in another way. In verse 41, I marked that passage of Scripture because I want you to look at it with me. This is after the angel had told Mary that she was going to be with child. And she says, Lord, be it so. I'm your handmaid. According to your will, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Even though she didn't understand it, her question was, Lord, how can I have a child when I know not a man? How can this happen? And the Lord assured her, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that you'll become pregnant. And she was. And then in verse 41, look at that verse with me just a moment. Look what it says there. It says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. And this is why she was special. One of the things that really come out to me as I studied and planned and made preparation for this. Did you know that Elizabeth was the first to give an open response to Jesus as Savior and Lord? She was the very first one to give a response, an open response to the person of Jesus Christ. She was the first one to recognize that He was coming. He was coming and He was going to deliver them. And if you look at this passage, you can see that. Look how she addressed Mary in verse 43. Look in verse 43. It says, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? why would the mother of my Lord, and she made it very personal, my Lord, come to me? So here we see she was the one, she was special and she was privileged because she recognized open response to the promise and the coming of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we see great things took place. See, her response, Mary, to break out in a song that we call the Magnificat. There in verses 46 through 56, you can read that, and it tells us some things. Because, see, she was a special mother for a special son, Elizabeth was. What John was going to do, and that's the name the angel gave Zacharias, that he was going to come, and he was going to be a forerunner to prepare and to make ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And John was one who had the privilege to do that and the call to do that. She was a special mother because she had a special son. See, he was special. John was special at his conception and his mission. Even if you go back and look at verse 17, look back at it, it says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people," what? "Prepared for the Lord," to make it possible so that they could respond to him when he come on the scene. That's exactly what John did. You remember when John was there and Jesus come to be baptized of him, John looked and he saw it. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew who he was as coming as the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would deliver his people, not from the bondage of Roman and the Roman Empire, but to deliver them from the bondage of their sin, being captivated and captive to sin. And Jesus come for the purpose to bring about, if you please, their release from those things. Thank God for that. Amen. I might go to preaching here in a minute. Special at his conception. It was special call. He had a special call and a special diet. Look in verses 15 and 16. It says, "And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Boy, he couldn't have been some of a Baptist today. I better shut up there. Move on. "And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." There's another one. Leave him out. "Even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God." We read that. But what is that saying to us? A special call. A special call in his life and a special diet because he's going to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. And you remember, even in the charge of the Nazarite, it meant that their life was dedicated, consecrated, committed to the things of God because they would not allow these things to be a part of their life to keep them from responding to God the way they should. And I still say, let me move on from there. Better move on. Let's move on. The third thing in this under this part here, there's a special event took place at his birth. Special event took place at his birth. Look in verse 64 of the first chapter. Verse 64 says this. After John's birth, it says, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loose, and he spake and praised God." It's talking about Zacharias. You remember, maybe because of some doubt and all, I didn't have time to go into the reason for his serving there in the temple. But this was a task that he was assigned to. And what those priests did, some there's different translation or different commentaries you read after. Sometimes this was an eight-day event. You started on the Sabbath, and it went through the next Sabbath. Some of your writers say it goes from one Sabbath to second Sabbath to the third Sabbath, and then your time was up to where you served in the temple in the capacity of what John was doing as he went in, and he made sure that the fires were going on the altar, and the incense was placed there because it represented the prayers of the people as they were outside praying. These incenses, as they burned and they moved to heaven, it represented that their prayers was going up to God, and John was there to do that. But he was a special event took place because, see, when he was told that he would have a son, he must have doubted somehow or another because he was struck to be dumb. He could not speak until after the birth of John. And here we see this, a special event took place as his tongue was loose. And as he related to them, he's not going to be called Little John or John Jr., I mean Zacharias or Zacharias Jr., but his name is going to be John because that's what the angel said to him. And so his name was called John. But there's something else we need to look at. We need to realize that John was one who carried out the mission that God gave him all the way to death. Why did he do that? How could he do that? I believe because, let me tell you something, women, I believe that he had a mother that prayed for him until her very death. We don't know that, and we probably don't believe that they were probably alive when John was beheaded. But I believe that she was one who kept her son in her prayers as she recognized there was a difference in his life, and she prayed that God would use him in a mighty way as he ministered in the world and for God. And I believe this is just part of it that you can say you're reading between the lines, preacher. No, I believe that if I understand my heart right and I understand a mother's heart right, that whenever their son is in the ministry, you got a praying mama there is praying for that son. I can rest assured of that. I found Mama's Bible after she died, and I went through there and I looked at her prayer list. Many names were there, and they were scratched off because things that happened in her life got better. And there was my name time and time again, because I believe that a godly mother is one who prays for her son and her children. Amen? Ouch. Let's move on. The fourth and final thing. When we think about the term and the name Elizabeth, there have been queens and females from all walks of life who have incorporated this name, Elizabeth, to themselves. It's a favorite name. It's one that's held in, I guess we could say, in respect. Because this is evidence even in America, where we live today. Did you know that almost 2 million women in America bear the name Elizabeth today? Almost 2 million women bear that name. Are they drawing it out of the scripture just to have a name as they look through? Or are they drawing it out of there because of the character of this woman who really wanted to seek God and to find what God had for her? See, just think about this. What would happen if those bearing this name, as we pointed out, and as we look at this scripture stated, as it states here, that they're righteous before God and blameless? What would happen in America today? You think about that for just a moment. Righteous before God and blameless. You talk about a mighty spiritual force that would be in the life of this sick, sick nation, that would something happen, that something would take place in this nation. I will assure you that it would. Listen, what an if we here today would vow to live righteously and to be blameless before God. Blameless before God in our character, and may I say, and respond to Jesus the way that we should. What in the world would happen? What would happen in our county here at Pierce County? What would happen because of that in the rest of the state of Georgia if we would do that? See, I cannot express enough tonight. You are a special person to God. You are special to God. If you do not believe it, just take a look at the cross where His Son, His only begotten Son, gave His life as He stretched His arms out there to be nailed to a cruel cross. He loves you with an eternal, everlasting love. He gave His life so that you could know of the very love of God. He made possible for you not to have religion and find religion, but to have a relationship with the Creator God of all the universe. And you can do that tonight. You can do that tonight. See, some people change their names. They change their friends, and they change a lot of things. We even had a president said he's going to change some things, and he has, but it hasn't been for the good. But here, I'll guarantee you this, that He wants to change your life. He can change your life. And boy, He's good at changing life if you'll only allow Him to do so. The lesson, if there's a lesson we get from Elizabeth, we ought to be the one who will share and relate the person of who Jesus really is, as she did when she heard the voice of Elizabeth. As she heard the voice of Mary, we ought to be the one who share and tell the message of the story. I think about so many things in life as we think about what happens in life. There are many mothers today that's here, And your mother, I mentioned this morning, if she's still alive, you need to call her and let her know how much you love her. And you need to recognize that as she prays for you, you need to let her know what's going on in your life. I'm reminded in my own family that there are some things that's happened since my mother died. Some of my brothers has found the Lord. And I found a song that Squire Parson wrote, and it goes like this. Angels bear swiftly this message. I've been saved by marvelous grace. But there's one thing that I'm asking. When you enter that heavenly place, would you call out my name loud and clear? I believe that somewhere up in heaven, Mama's listening to hear. She must have prayed a million prayers and cried a million tears. So as you write my name in heaven, call out my name loud and clear. I remember when at her bedside, the last words I heard her say was, "Oh Lord, please save my children." And to heaven she slipped away. Would you call out my name loud and clear? I believe that somewhere up in heaven, Mama's listening to hear. She must have prayed a million prayers and cried a million tears. So as you write my name in heaven, call out my name loud and clear. Some found the Lord after their mother passed on. And I guess that would be a desire for them to know that everything was right. If you're here tonight and you have not made that decision, you do not know what it means to respond to Jesus and let Him be Lord of your life, tonight you can do that. And He can make your life, He can make your life something that He's so proud of and wants to work in and be special in His eyes if you'll only trust Him. Only trust Him. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for how You speak to us from and out of Your Word. And Lord, we realize that as You've spoken to us, help us to be honest with You and honest with ourselves. Help us to respond in the way that You would have us to. Oh God, tonight we pray that You would do in hearts and lives what needs to be done. Lord, if there's one here that's never trusted You as Savior, and Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they would say yes to You. What better day could it be than on Mother's Day to show their mother that are the life that she lived and the life that You was given but to them, the Lord, that You want to surrender and give it to You. You want to be all that You can be for the glory of God. So, Father, tonight, whatever decision needs to be made, we pray that You'll honor each heart and each response as only You can in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Hymn of invitation, hymn of commitment.